The words of God given to us today are 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18. It is page 273 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge, and so not to make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Amen. The more we think about it, we are mere creatures without much use. And yet, God continues to trust us and have allowed us the opportunity of yet another year to use us as pathways by which He may fulfill His will in these times of corruption. And so today, on this first day of the new year, we cannot but thank the deep love of God who continues to trust us from the core of our beings. A new year does not come just because you changed the last year's calendar with this year's calendar. If a new year were to come just by changing the calendar, this would mean that the new year comes from the world, but this is not true. As it is said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, there is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new in this world. There is only what appears to be new, or people who mistake something as being new. The thing that is always new without ebbing away, no matter how many years go by, the truly new thing comes only from above, from God. God declared in Isaiah chapter 43:19, "See, I am doing a new thing. Only the time given to those who have the right relationship with God, God who always do a new thing, will be weave together as a new hour, new day, a new year. I wish from the bottom of my heart that the year 2012, which God has entrusted us, will be weaved into genuine new year in our right relationship with God. Among new television programs last year, the one that received the most audience response was probably the program called I Am a Singer, 나가수 in Korean, aired by MBC TV. The reason that this program captured the attention of the audience from the very first show was because the singers who came on the program did their best to sing as best as they could without an exception. Mr. Kim Gun-mo, who got into trouble by appearing on his first round with a kidding around attitude, sang his heart out on the second round, so much so that his hands, which were holding on to the mic, were shaking. Now, it's true that singers have often come on TV programs or sang in theaters without much practice. There are many times that I went to a dinner show or recital to hear a lead singer in Korea perform and got disappointed seeing how he or she sang half-heartedly or goofing around. But without an exception, every singer who comes on the I Am a Singer program does his or her best at singing. There's only one reason for this, and that is the professional singers who come on the program are evaluated by the audience judge team. Now, after the performance, the person who gets the lowest score from the audience evaluation is eliminated. Although it's only an entertainment program, It is a dishonor for a professional singer who sings for a living to be eliminated in a public competition. So the singers, once they come on this program, do their best to survive. They have to do their best to survive the audience evaluation. If the schools of this world were to put an end to all tests, if the job evaluation tests were eliminated from our society, then it would probably be difficult to spot a person who studies. In the same way that tests make students study, the audience judge evaluation system makes the singers who participate in the I Am a Singer program to do their best to sing. A test and a judge, therefore, are there for the benefits of the participating person. And this is the reason why the loving God judges His beloved people. So only those who believe in and are conscious of God's judgment can do their best, live genuinely in pursuit of God's words. During the sabbatical month last year, at times there was something that I could not understand as I watched the I Am a Singer program. Sometimes, among the seven singers who come on each program, the singer that seemed to be most off in terms of beat and tune, and therefore sang the worst, at least from watching on the TV monitor, would survive to the end. And rather, the person who sang much better would be eliminated. Now, when this happened, each time I would ask myself, why would the audience evaluation team vote this way? Now, this question was resolved the last Chuseok holidays by the invitation of Deacon Chang Ki-ho, who heads the advisory team for the program. I attended the recording of the program during Chuseok. Ilsan studio of MBC TV had the best sound facility. The sound of the band that came on that best sound system over the studio, which was as large as a sports ground, was more than enough to cover over a deficiency in or a mistake made by a singer. And so, unlike the television audience at home who were listening on the speaker of the television monitor, which have limited capacity and therefore could hear the voice of the singer more, the amateur audience evaluation judges who were at the site of the recording could very well give a different evaluation. So on that day, on my way home, I had this thought. A deficiency or a mistake by a singer could be covered over by an excellent sounding equipment. But no person could pretend to be otherwise before the judgment of God, because a man must stand before God in judgment as a naked spirit, which cannot be covered over with anything. We have decided on the motto for our church, which is coming upon its seventh year of foundation, as "What is your reward?" based on the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18. Apostle Paul, who visited Corinth during his second mission trip, stayed in Corinth for 1 year and 6 months. Corinth, which has Lechion Harbor to the west, and Kankeria to the east connects the east and west. And because of this geographical advantage, it established a mega city-state as early on as the 8th century BC. Now, it was conquered by Philip II, the father of King Alexander of Macedonia, in 338 BC, and was subsequently attacked and destroyed by General Mummius of Roman Empire in 44 BC. It was restored by Caesar of Rome in 44 BC, and by the time Paul visited 2,000 years ago, Corinth was the fourth largest city in the Roman Empire, and its population reached no less than 600,000. Like other commercial cities in Roman Empire, Corinth too was extremely seriously corrupt and decadent in terms of morals. At Acro-Corinth, which was located 575 meters above sea level, the imposing temple of Aphrodite stood. There was about 1,000 men and women priests and priestesses at this temple, and the women priestesses were all religious prostitutes engaged in prostitution under the guise of religion. That there was such no less than 1,000 prostitutes at the temple meant that Corinth was that much corrupt sexually. It was so much so. So to say that to become a Corinthian implied that to become a sexually immoral person. The church that Paul founded in the city of decadence and pleasure, Corinth, is a church referred to as Corinthian church. But after Paul left Corinth, after 1 year and 6 months, a lot of problems surfaced. The believers became divided into factions and did not hesitate to criticize and judge each other. And moreover, there were problems with sexual immorality among the members, and other unexpected problems came up. The struggling Corinth church, far from renewing the Corinth, which was corrupt, started to get swept away by the corrupt conventions of Corinth. When Paul heard this sad news, he wrote a letter to provide resolutions for various problems which were being faced by Corinthian church. And this letter is the 1 Corinthians. And in that letter, Paul asked and answered the question as in today's text, 1 Corinthians 9:18. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Paul asked, what is my reward? Asked himself, what is my reward? And answered himself by saying that it was not making full use of his rights as a preacher of the gospel to which he was naturally entitled. At the time, evangelists received living allowances they needed from believers, Paul, but Paul did not do so. According to chapter 18 of the Acts, Apostle Paul made his living by making tents with Aquila, whom he met in Corinth, and preached the gospel for free to Corinthians. Now, this was not the case everywhere he went. Paul testifies as follows through Philippians chapter 4, 15 to 16. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. It says that the Philippian church members made a collection for expenses that Paul needed to pay as he went around here and there on his mission trip. And Paul also explained as follows in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. During the 1 year and 6 months that Paul spent in Corinth, it was not possible to make a living just from making tents. And this was understandable given that making tent was his second job and his primary job was spreading the gospel without any compensation. But Paul, did not exercise his right to ask for living expenses to meet the deficiency from the believers of Corinth because not only did the believers of Macedonia provide him with extra donation, but because he did not want to become a burden on the believers of Corinth. Now, why did Paul, during that 1 year and 6 months stay in Corinth, receive the collection from the Macedonian believers to make up for financial deficiency that he had? But tried hard not to become a burden on the believers of Corinth, even by refraining from exercising his right. The first reason was that he wanted to show a different kind of life from that of priests, of foreign gods, temples were corrupt and given to self-indulgence, and the life of wandering philosophers and false prophets who expounded on philosophy or false gospel for a living. And the second reason was to prove his innocence, prove his purity before the slanders of those who plotted against him. In sum, he determined that the gospel that he was trying to preach would not be damaged only if he were to refrain from exercising his right to receive living allowance from believers in Corinth. To put it a different way, because he judged that this was the only way to save one additional soul. And this is the reason that Paul testified as follows. If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul preached the gospel for no less than 1 year and 6 months to believers at Corinth. But received nothing in return. From finance point of view, he had worked in vain. But far from regretting or lamenting such life, on the contrary, he thought of delivering the gospel for free. Abandoning his right was the very reward from God, a compensation. This meant that Paul rather than the entitlements given to him, served God who gave him such entitlements more highly. Now, how was such life possible for Paul? Now, this happened when Paul was imprisoned in the prison at Caesarea. Felix, the Roman governor, called Paul and asked what the key elements of faith that Paul believed in was. According to chapter 24, verse 25 of the Acts, Paul responded to this question with three words. The first was righteousness, second, self-control, and third, judgment. Righteousness, mentioned in the Bible, refers to having a right relationship with God. And the word self-control, which is ankrateia in Greek, means self-control which cuts off the things that one should cut off. So righteousness is having a right relationship with God, and in order to have a right relationship with God, it's necessary to live with self-control. In other words, the life of denying the self. And the life of each person is to be judged by God without fail. Now, among Christians, there is hardly anyone who does not know that the key elements of faith is righteousness, self-control, and judgment. And yet the reason that a lot of Christians are not able to live a life of correct faith is because, as I mentioned in the new members class, the key factors of faith are, although the key factors of faith are righteousness, self-control, and judgment, the progress and the maturity of faith occurs in the reverse order. In other words, only those who believe in the judgment of God, those who live with the consciousness of the judgment of God that is to come, is able to live a life of self-control, of self-denial, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and as a result, is able to maintain a right relationship with God. It's the same logic by which those students who are conscious of tests will study hard. And the singers who come on the I'm a Singer sings as best they can because they are judged. They know that they will be judged by audience judges. But there is also a fundamental difference. Depending on students, it is possible to engage in sneaky cheating while taking tests. And the weakness of a mistake of a singer making appearance on the I Am a Singer program can be disguised by excellent sound equipment. But before the judgment of God, cheating or disguise is fundamentally impossible. As there was emphasized numerous times in the new believers class, mature believers class, and class for the called, to those who do not believe, the judgment of God means destruction. But to those who believe, it means the accounting of God. In other words, God giving rewards. God always accounts for the life of His children, and God always gives rewards according to such accounting. Now, Jesus, who came to earth, spoke a number of times about this reward of God. For example, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. A reward we get from the world, a reward that isn't the world, no matter what it is bound to dissipate. But the reward we get from God, received from God, is an eternal reward that never dissipates. Paul was someone who longed for such a reward. To Paul, the judgment of God was the accounting by God and God giving rewards. And so Paul commanded and also confessed to the believers of Corinth who were receiving his letter as follows. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. In the same way that sportsmen do their best to earn the prize of victory and voluntarily live a life of self-control in all matters, he urged that the believers of Corinth also do their best to earn the reward of God that will not decay. And also revealed that he also will live a life in which he will make himself obedient in order not to be disqualified for the prize of God. Because Paul lived such a life of faith, he was able to confidently declare that preaching the gospel freely without exercising his right for 1 year and 6 months in order not to damage the gospel was his very reward which he received from God. He firmly believed that even if you live empty-handed in reality, so long as you live a life in which you willingly give up your right for the sake of God's gospel, the God, then God of judgment, will surely reward you when life on this earth is over. The reason that Paul mentioned about rewards and urged them to live, urged them to do their best and to live a life of self-control in order to obtain the reward of God, was that unless they believed in God giving rewards, unless they believed in God of judgment, it was impossible for them to live on as true Christians in the city of pleasure and corruption, Corinth. The following are the words from Hebrews 11:6, which you know very well. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. If you believe in God, it is necessary to believe in two things. First, no matter where you happen to be, God is present at that place. God is omnipresent. Secondly, you must believe that God gives rewards. If the believers believe in these two things, if they were to live each day conscious of these two things, then, like students who study hard before a test, like sportsmen before a competition always control themselves, like the singers who sing their best before the audience judges in I Am a Singer program, like Apostle Paul, who willingly gave up his entitlements for the sake of the gospel, and thought of him being able to live a life of freely delivering the gospel as his reward, it is only too clear that your life will become a sincere life in accordance with the words of God. And from this perspective, if we look into all kinds of ugly happenings in the Korean church, we can't help but become doubtful as to whether the persons who are at places of these happenings and cause problems really believed that God was present at the site, whether they believe in the judgment of God, God who gives rewards. If you believe in the judgment of God, if you believe in the accounting of God, if you believe the judgment of God is the reward of God, it simply is impossible to live in such a way. Then what about each of us? We say we believe in God, but have our souls already become dominated by this world? Is it the case that we trust the customs of this world and logic of money more than pursuing after God's words? Far from controlling the self and giving up our entitlements for the sake of the gospel, are we using God to strengthen self-desire and enlarging self-entitlements? In this way, even if we were to change the calendar, wouldn't the new year just be a continuation of the old year? This year promises to be difficult due to the death of Kim Jong-il. The relationship between South and North have become difficult to predict. The finances of homes are becoming worse by the day, and we are facing the National Assembly election and the presidential election. And there are rumors facing the elections, and it's only too clear that the conflict, the regional conflict in our nation, will become deeper. And it's a time when it's easier than ever to become swayed by the world. Then, surely, more so than any other year, we all must believe in God's judgment, God's accounting, God who gives rewards. It is only then that we will be able to have a right relationship with God in this world of extreme uncertainty and live a life of self-control and run the course as true Christians. The the letter of Paul, who by believing God's reward considered willingly giving up his entitlements in order to deliver the gospel as a reward, became the words of God to be recorded in the Bible. And Paul, though he suffered beheading at the hands of Emperor Nero, is alive today as an eternal apostle. This was the result of God rewarding Paul, who believed in God of rewards. Beloved brothers and sisters, during this 1 year, let us not make rewards from this world our purpose. The rewards of this world, the more we look for it, will only lead us to become further from God. Let us become the Pauls of this era who willingly gave up rewards from the world for the sake of rewards to be given by God. It is then that, despite our shortcomings, God will use us as instruments for this corrupt era during this 1 year. And this 1 year will become weaved into a genuine new year in the right relationship with God. Let us pray. All this while, we profess to believe in God, but did not understand that God is present and is alive at the places where our lives are lived. Even more, we were not able to believe that God is a God of judgment who accounts for our lives and the God of rewards. As a result, we lived busily pursuing only the rewards from this world. And far from transforming the world, we became swept away by the conventions of this world and lived a life that is too shameful to be that of a Christian. But even so, God has trusted us, has given us the opportunity of yet another year. We genuinely thank you for this. On this first Sunday of the new year, we all desire to begin a new life with living God. Allow us to live each day longing for God's judgment, God's rewards. Help us not to forget that until we believe in God's judgment and in God's rewards, we won't be able to live as true Christians in the world, on this world of pleasure, corruption, in which worships materialism. In the same way that a student who is conscious of tests studies hard, like a singer who sings as best as he or she can because of evaluation by audience judges, like a runner before a competition, controls himself and puts efforts into training. Allow us to live each day striking down the self and controlling the self and living in pursuit of your words as best as we can in order to obtain the reward from you. In the same way as Apostle Paul, give us the mature faith in which we consider the life of willingly giving up the rewards of this world in order to obtain the rewards of God as our rewards. And so may our lives be used as pathways of God by which God will rightly establish this world of corruption during this coming year. And may our lives during this year, which will be weaved into a new year daily in the right relationship with God, ring out with beautiful praises towards God. I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.